Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 506 for Thursday, February the 2nd, 1980. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and having to explain the basics to high-level employees, making me a bit concerned for the future of all things. Yeah, I had some very interesting phone calls today with people with very impressive titles who did not demonstrate the skill I would have expected of somebody possessing such a title or certification.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that's the future of all work.
I know.
But fuck merit, dude. Merit's for fuck losers.
I know, but it's like, you know, if you've got, you know, you get this nice, high, and impressive title and all these certs after your name, and you can't work a frickin' web form, and you can't understand that the acquired company is not yet hooked into the support ticketing system, hence why we're asking. Anyway, never mind. I'm going to stop because I'm going to get myself in trouble. Just, oh my God. I mean, I realize I think computers are easy, and maybe that's different for other people, but good Lord, it's not that fucking hard. We have a madman. What's up, madman?
Oh, nothing much. Unfortunately, the weather improved enough that I couldn't, in good conscience, use it as an excuse not to go to work.
Well, that's why you use the weather as an excuse to fall and, you know, break a bone. That's usually a pretty good excuse if you're looking to get out of work.
Yeah, I did slip a couple times. Seems the only ice left in my front lawn is actually around the driver's side entrance to my car.
Well, there you go.
I'm like, wow, I found it! Right there it is! Fuck! The road's clear, the driveway's mostly clear, there are two fucking slick spots in the front of my house, one's outside my fucking front door, the other one's the driver's side door of my car. All the other doors, I can, no problem.
You all that right? Looks like I have a BSV at 20.
You all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine, I didn't fall or die or anything. And then I drove to work and It was there. The place didn't burn down while I was gone. All these wasted, you know, rants and shit on social media offering money. No one's taking me up on it.
And we have an RU. What's up, RU?
Yeah, it's getting there, I'll tell you that. Fucking made the mistake of having a little fun this week, and of course you can't have fun without something fucking backfiring.
Yes, thank God the police were here, otherwise somebody might have enjoyed themselves.
I have decided, fuck it, I am no longer signing into anything anymore. It is now my fucking solemn goal to live my life playing games without signing into anything. Fuck it, you forced me to do it, finally, I'm done, I'm fucking out. I no longer have a gaming account. I'm going to fucking get games the traditional way, either buy them off the shelf, and if they still have a third-party login, they can go fuck themselves, I don't want their game, or they're going to force me back to piracy. I'm what, fucking done.
What?
I got hit with a two-stage verification. I can't verify a second time, I don't have a fucking phone. Wasn't part of the fucking deal. Okay? Where fucking Lando Calrissian standing there going, oh, what the fuck? They changed the deal on me again? Pray they don't do it again? What the
kinda
fuck? Man, fuck these people.
Oh, dude, you're going to love the first article I'm going to start with then tonight.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't correspond any of this either. That's the kind of week I fucking had. I'm locked out of pretty much all my accounts right now until I get a mobile phone number. I didn't sign up for second party verification. They just thrust it upon me overnight. That's it. I'm done. I'm out. I'll talk to you about email later, Morps. But yeah, fuck every. I'm going back to piracy. I don't care. I tried, and it was so convenient too. And that's where I fucked up. It was too convenient. I knew I was getting penned in. Too much convenience. But fuck it. We go back to piracy now.
Well, that's where it's going to end up. I mean, a lot of the video streaming services are pretty much already there. And the notes I've got down on this article that I thought would be fun to open with us talking about is from Sky News. But, so I've got services are going to get more invasive to prevent piracy. And, of course, that's been going on for a while. All the anti-cheats, back in the, early aughts when... music discs would install shit on your computer to prevent you from ripping them.
Yeah,
and that turned out to be a rootkit. But this Netflix thing, man, it almost reads like, please drink a verification can. And if you don't get that reference, Google it. Yeah. Because we're fucking getting there.
Yeah, that's it, man. I saw the second stage verification thing. I'm like, I did not ask for this, not want this. Why do I have to fucking now buy another service and a product to use your product, which wasn't the agreement when I fucking first signed up, because I read that fucking user agreement.
Well, almost every bullshit. Single one of those shrink wrap user agreements that you don't have any ability to negotiate, by the way, so it's even questionable whether they're actually contracts or not. But each of those shrink wrap agreements always has in them a line that they can be updated at any time without notice, and that you are now bound by the terms of the new agreement, and at least in usage of the software. So,
and they always I'm have starting a line like now. That in there. Like I'm starting now to declutter my entire login system, shit like that, for the only simple fact that I know digital ID is coming, and then I'm air gapped. You'll never see me on the internet ever again. Like, I'm not using digital ID, real ID, whatever, to fucking use the internet. Fucking horse shit. Now they're going to start with it's only for social media that you need it. And then the creep will fucking start. Well, you need your digital ID to buy stuff now. I'm going to need your digital ID to log into that browser. You know what I mean? Just having a browser open up now won't be a thing. You'll have to log into it. I'm fucking sure of it. It's coming, and I'm not going to be a part of it.
Oh, because you'll be able to get away with it with open source stuff for a little while, but...
For a little while.
Then what'll happen is they'll start passing laws requiring it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I'm getting rid of everything now, so it's not a fucking all hands on deck. I need to panic digital ideas here, and I haven't prepared. Nope. I'm not fucking doing it. I will go back outside, because the fun I had was hanging out with a couple of dudes wrenching on a car for an hour and a half that I wasn't meant to be working on. But it was great. I'm going to go do that again. Fuck it. I'm out. The internet is not fun anymore. I don't know about you. I'm not having that much fun on it.
No. The internet's pretty much my day job at this point.
Apart from hanging out and playing a few games, the fucking place is going to shit.
I mean, I'm getting entertainment. Into old-school radio stuff.
Yeah, the only entertainment we've had this week is, like, the fucking fake voice application. That's been great. And things like that. That's been fun again, but they all can't have fun. No, because they had to start writing articles, and then what'd they do? They started fucking with the program so you couldn't make the filthy fucking language ones. So... And I see ChatTPG got fucking fucked with. Its bias is heavy to the left now.
People complained, and then so they went in and adjusted.
Well, did you see the photos of the behind the TPG people?
No, I did not.
Okay, you remember the Redditor's monitors photo?
Yeah.
Three fucking troons sitting on it. Yeah, that's what it is. That's who's running the TPG human verification stuff. You got some troons doing it.
Lovely.
Fucking useless. Yeah, so fuck that. Like, TPG is awesome. This is as long as you don't want to ask it any hard social questions.
Well, I don't think it's going to be very particularly useful for that, for anything I would want to do with it, or anything anybody in our group would want to do with it. But I could see a lot of people using it to write articles. And so, oh, fuck, that's what it is. That's what it is, are you? They want to use ChatGPT to make the link farm sites. Most of those have a left-leaning bias, so they're just catering to their audience.
Yeah. The dead internet theory is really starting to ring home now.
Yeah, that's a fun one when you read up on it.
It is.
Let's do this rant for today. Let's do this article from Sky News. Revealed how Netflix plans to stop you from sharing your password. Netflix impending crackdown on password sharing includes plans to force users to regularly connect to their home Wi-Fi. Oh. I want to know how they're doing this.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought they'd do a range IP ban.
Yeah, they already ban a whole bunch of Tor nodes and VPNs and stuff like that. An update to the streaming giant's help page reveals details of how the company will finally take a tougher stance against the practice in which millions of people in the UK are estimated to partake in. While logins will still be shareable within a single home, Netflix, for God's sake, they're going to get to, every user has to have their own login. Netflix has outlined new measures to ensure that any device which uses the account is associated with the account holder's primary location. Who will you be able to share your account with? People within your home can still use your account. So if mom or dad are paying, or if the kids are still at home, they can still have their own profiles and watch Netflix on their own devices. But if the kids have gone to university or moved out, maintaining access to the parents' Netflix will get trickier. That's because by using information such as IP addresses, device IDs, and account activity, the company can detect where users are logging in from and may choose to intervene if they suspect a case of freeloading. So, Netflix has a lot of apps that they load on televisions and phones and stuff like that. I want to know, are they trying to identify individual routers or not? I don't think they're just looking at source IP, because too many people don't have static IPs. They change. Yeah. So I'm betting they're doing some kind of device identification, such as probably pulling the local MAC address of the router or something like that. I think they're trying to identify individual routers. And the reason I care about this is not for Netflix, because I canceled my Netflix account 3 years ago now. I don't care. But what I care about is the fact that other services are going to copy this model. Where was I? So how's it going to be enforced? Netflix will treat devices which use your account as trusted if they are connected to your home Wi-Fi regularly. So don't worry, of course you can still take your account with you on the phone when you go out, assuming that you bring it back home with you and log in there at least once every 31 days. So once a month, you better log into Netflix from home on your home Wi-Fi, or it's going to trip that your device is no longer in your home location. Which again, I don't know how they're determining that.
I don't watch Netflix on my phone while I'm at home. The whole reason I watch it on my phone is if I'm not at home. I have a very large TV that is much better than my little small phone for watching things if I'm at home. And what if I don't know? I travel. Have you been to a hotel recently and looked at the TVs they have? It's a handful of channels, and then, oh, look at all these preloaded streaming sites that you can log into and watch on our television. They don't really give you cable. I didn't. I'm just pointing out that's what hotel entertainment is now.
You know what I do at a hotel these days? I find the fucking HDMI port and hook one of my devices up to it. I'm not kidding.
Clever girl.
I have a USB to HDMI cable that's about 12 foot long, and it is a fantastic piece of kit. USB-C to HDMI. And it worked with my Steam Deck, worked with an iPad, worked with my phone. when I had an Android phone. I've not my iPhone's got a Lightning port because, you know, Apple has decided that USB 2 is good enough, peasant. But I have other reasons for picking an iPhone these days. Mainly, it's just not worth dealing with. Well, 90% of my family's on iPhone stuff, and, you know, because they don't make them very interoperable for Android stuff, it's just easier. And it's just one of these. It's one of these fights I've just chosen not to have. You know what I mean? It's like, are you fighting the good fight not having a mobile device? I've capitulated and just like, fine, I'll buy a fucking iPhone. Bourbon. Anyways, it's a Netflix will treat devices which use your account as trusted if they connect to your home Wi-Fi regularly. Yeah, if a device from outside your household signs in or is used persistently, Netflix says it may ask you to verify that device before it can be used to watch anything. Netflix says it will send a link to the email address or the phone number associated with the primary account holder containing a four-digit code that will need to be entered on the untrusted device within 15 minutes. Quote, this may be required periodically. Unquote. In other words,
you want to hemorrhage users? That's how you hemorrhage users.
Really. And this will be also needed if you are away from home for an extended period of time. For example, if you take your phone traveling and plan to keep using Netflix. So can you still share your account? Technically, yes. It's just becoming a lot more inconvenient, riskier, and could end up costing you. Firstly, don't forget that Netflix limits how many devices can be using one account simultaneously, depending on which pricing tier you're on. And it maxes out at 4 at €16 a month. Even if the prospect of constant verification code messages or someone swinging by to use your Wi-Fi isn't inconvenient enough, Netflix may still act if it suspects blatant password sharing is going on. For those who are logged in from outside the household, will either have to pay up for their own account or the original account holder will have to spend a little extra. Netflix has been trialing a feature to let people add sub-accounts for up to 2 people they don't live with. It's been testing parts of South America since last year and costs the equivalent of an extra €2 to €3 a month. Netflix started taking on a potential password sharing crackdown during a lull in subscriber numbers with more competition from Amazon and Disney and the cost of living. The company is looking for ways to reverse the trend and boost revenue. That's not going to help. It started trying to tempt account sharers into making more of their own accounts last year by letting people transfer profiles from one account to another. The Intellectual Property Office has since clarified that password sharers may be breaking copyright law because of fucking course. It's just down to the streaming services themselves to enforce it. So, Netflix is devising this rather aggressive system of verification codes and, you know, verifying your location once a month for your device to make sure that it's, you know, that it's okay for you to continue using your account. And you know, yeah, might get a few people who share accounts to break down and buy their own account. But what's more likely is that the people who were sharing their parents' account or their friend's account or whatever will just quit sharing the account and will start go using, I don't know, F-Movies or any other pirate site.
Pirate system, yep.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, they're not paying in the first place. Why do you think they're going to start paying now?
Don't even have to go pirate if you don't want to. There are more and more free streaming sites. I just reset up my Roku. I pulled up Freevee. Now, there's a downside. There's commercials. Get like 2 of them every 15 minutes. I get up and go grab a beer. But I've noticed Netflix originals are on it. So the whole you have to have Netflix to watch some stuff. No, they're leasing it out to other people. Now, it's their originals that have been out for 2 or 3 years, but who gives a fuck?
But you're
there's a spot for Amazon originals as well.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah, okay, you might get a few people to sign up for accounts because they can't share their parents' password account anymore. You're going to inconvenience every other regular user of your platform for it. This is DRM all over again, where, you know, to try to prevent a handful of people from pirating it which they're gonna do anyways. They'll just strip the fucking DRM out and still post it up on whatever site. You're gonna inconvenience everybody else by making them deal with fucking DRM. Now, it's gotten better because most companies have backed off of making the DRM really aggressive, and games have largely moved to things like Steam anyways, which kind of integrates it into just making sure your account's good. But, again, like RU was talking about at the beginning of the show, you don't have to use Steam. You could just pirate it. I mean, since they integrate a lot of the multiplayer servers into that, that makes things a little more tricky. But still, I mean, there's always ways around that shit. Especially, but I mean, if it's like a single-player game or something, who fucking cares?
If you want to run free, there's restrictions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy to run free. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm under no illusion that, you know, I probably won't be buying any AAA games in the next ever.
I haven't been super interested in a lot of the latest ones anyways.
Yeah, I know what?
What was the last game that I bought? Elden Ring, and I haven't even played it that much?
Yeah. I said in January I'm not buying any games this year, but that was a financial decision. But after the debacle this week, I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm going back to hard copy or piracy now. I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah. But on top of, but okay, Netflix alone aside, because, you know, like we were saying, there's lots of video piracy out there. And, you know, if you're worried about their original stuff, you know, according to Madman, there's other servers streaming it. So I'm not sure how many people even really care about the Netflix shows. I mean, don't get me wrong. Vox Machina is cool and all. But how many people just aren't even watching that? Especially, you know, like people who would be using their parents' Netflix, for example. How many of them are just streaming YouTube, Twitch, whatever the hell else?
I just counted all the streaming shows that I have access to right now, whether it's movies or cartoons and shit like that. I just playing constantly like a television.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up to 19. I have Fight Club on one right now just because it's playing.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, like, people who've spun up, like, shit like Plex servers and just have a load of it set up.
Yeah.
I actually know several people at work, several different Plex groups at work where different groups of friends where, like, one guy's got the server with all the hard drives in it and everybody else connects to their Plex and they even do watch parties and shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
the watch party thing's getting more and more popular with people.
I mean, we've got our own system we've devised for it.
Yeah, I think they've done themselves a disservice here. It won't kill Netflix, but
it's not going to be good for it.
It's not going to win them any public favor. Let's just say that their PR is going to take a hit. Especially with your, let's say, more economically challenged users.
Yeah, exactly.
Then again, this modern climate. You don't want to be doing this right now, too, when the inflation's through the roof, fucking interest rates are going up. People are just going to go, you know what, $20 a month, fuck that. I'd rather buy beer.
I believe it. That's what I was saying is I don't see a lot of these people who weren't paying for Netflix in the first place deciding to pay for it now. I just don't.
Yeah.
So
I see more people doing the rotation model. Like
they've only got
waiting
one
a season. Yeah. And then just I'll subscribe to the thing that's given the once every show I want to watch when it's out for the year. I'll subscribe to it for a month, binge watch, and then cancel it and move on to the next one. And then in the meantime, subsidize with the free streaming or pirating. Netflix, I don't think, realizes exactly how much free content is out there for someone that wants to avoid it. And I'm still just avoiding straight-up piracy. The library has a streaming service. And this is no ads. You're limited on how much you can stream at a time. It's like checking out a movie, but if you have a library card, you get like six at a time. And once you're done, you click delete, pull up another one. Or if you actually don't mind going into a physical library, you can check out seasons of television shows. You can check out video games.
So what you do is you install Handbrake on your laptop, you go to the library, and you make backups for them of their video archives.
Yeah, I'm just being nice. And you've already kind of paid for them. You're a taxpayer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go with the free stuff first. Then, yeah, if you're having trouble, maybe switch over to the piracy stuff.
Well, I like Madman's suggestion of the library, because I don't know if... I don't think a lot of people would think of that.
Yeah.
Certainly not one of the first ones that comes to my mind.
A nice three-story library downtown. The second floor is nothing but DVDs and video games and audiobooks. Shit tons of crap. And if they don't have it there, you walk up to a librarian and say, "Hi, I want Vox Machina." If it's actually out on DVD, which I don't know if this is or not.
I don't know if it is or neither. I just picked that one because I've been watching it lately.
If Vox Machina's on DVD, they will go over their nice little computer. They have a "let's order this" option and a "does any library in the nation have it?" If they do, you're stuck on a waiting list, and they'll be like, "We'll call you when we have it in." So yeah, there's some inconvenience on it might not always be there, but the popular shit, they have dozens of copies of Game of Thrones. They have dozens of copies of whatever the hot shit is that's on DVD.
So for the record, that show looks like they do have a Blu-ray for their first season. So, just looked just to see, and it just, yep, they do. Okay, so there you go. It's like, I was actually curious about that, because I was like, that's a fairly new show that, to my knowledge, is only on streaming services, Amazon. And I was like, well, are they still putting stuff out on Blu-ray or not? I hadn't looked, so I didn't know. So I just Googled it real quick, just punched it in the search engine. It's like, yep, there's Blu-ray. All right, cool.
So, I have more trouble finding old stuff on Blu-ray than new stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've been trying to find... It's an old miniseries from, like, the late 80s, early 90s called Wolf. It's a werewolf show. I loved watching it growing up with my dad. It was released on DVD once. And after that initial release and sold out, it has never been released again. The only way you're going to find it, you can't find it on any legitimate streaming site, but if you check on YouTube on occasion, somebody may have uploaded what looks like a VHS copy from where they recorded it from its live broadcast.
You might check eBay, see if somebody's got the DVDs up there.
Yeah, new stuff? I'm still finding that on DVD, not a problem. It's old crap that I'm having trouble with.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I am too.
But a lot of the old crap is now free to stream on all kinds of other streaming sites that don't need logins.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that there's not, that these studios aren't going back and just digitizing, even at a low bit rate, all the old film they had from, you know, early shows, you know, 80s and 90s and, you know, even earlier stuff, and just selling that catalog to these streaming services. You'd think that'd be a gold mine.
I don't know how much of it they're not doing and how much, because the show I just did, it was a niche show that was, like I said, it was a miniseries. It wasn't even a full syndicated thing. But if you want to watch Night Court or a lot of the classic syndicated sitcoms and stuff, they're all over dozens of different free streaming sites.
Well, anyways, my worry is that, you know, Netflix is getting more invasive here, in that they're flat out trying to identify, you know, oh, you're not on your home network, you must be sharing your password. And I worry that other services might start trying to copy that model.
I'm not even thinking copy. Disney beat them to it.
Oh, is Disney doing the same thing?
Not that I would ever be asked to key in somebody else's verification code that was emailed to them. But if it were to happen, it's not really that hard to text somebody and say, "Hey, what's that 6-digit code you just got?" Not that it would ever happen to me, because like I just said, I go to legit, straight up, whatever sites. And if Amazon has ever asked, did you just log in from wherever? Hitting yes isn't a problem. Not that that's ever happened to me either, you know. Would never, ever occur. Amazon, I swear, I am at whatever address I just hit yes at.
Oh, what I enjoy is the ones who, like, it's not even that big of a service, and they decide, oh, well, we've got to do independent device verification. Oh, this is the first time you've logged in for this device. We've got to make sure this is really the real you, and send, you know, go out and do multi-step verifications and shit like that. It's like, give us your phone number so we can text you. No.
fuck that. Especially in some of this shit that I'm going to also have to watch a commercial? No, I'm not going to. You don't need to know my address. Let me watch the shit. I'll watch the commercial. You're getting your advertising money. I'm getting a free show. That's the deal. You don't get to track me. Fuck that shit.
You're looking for old stuff, man. Yeah, there you go, buddy.
Oh.
I'll look at that later.
That's if you're looking for old stuff and obscure Japanese pornography.
Well, you had my interest. Now you have my attention.
Yeah, no, I don't know why it covers. For some reason, it covers both. Like, if you're looking for like really old stuff, it has all the old movies.
That's a strange intersection. Are you?
I know, right? It is just bizarre. This place has been around forever, man.
Like, I was really just wanting to watch The Honeymooners, but this pixelated bukkake.
It's like, I think it's some sort of a kung fu movie, and they've lost their clothes, and they're still continuing to, oh my.
That's the best place I know for, like, black and white horror stuff going back in the day, you know, early 70s and 60s stuff. Yeah, it's good. It's a good place.
You guys ready to do the next story?
Yeah, what's up next? Yeah.
All right, next one up is from cyberscoop.com. And it's kind of obvious, but I thought it was worth talking about just because it might be kind of fun. Cybercrime group offers six-figure salaries, bonuses, paid time off to attract talent on the dark web. Cybercrime is a booming business, so like any other thriving market, the masterminds behind ransomware syndicates or online scam operations need workers too, and they aren't just looking for criminal hackers. Developers, administrators, and designers are in high demand. Just as the cybersecurity market is competing for the best talent, cybercriminals are also offering high salaries and perks to attract the best. Some ads boasted annual salaries as high as $1.2 million for skilled hackers. According to a new analysis from Kaspersky, it appears that Kaspersky is questionable just because the Russian government decided to get involved. It appears that developers are the most sought after within the cybercrime ecosystem. Developers who actually know how to write malware and shit like that and like have it work, because you know, I was complaining at the beginning of the show about people who should know how do you work some of these systems a little bit better than they do? Anybody want to take a guess at what was part of their title? Yeah, so developers who are worth a damn are... Okay, you know what? I'm just going to say this. I talk a lot of slag about developers. Good developers who actually understand a system are worth their weight in gold. Code monkeys who took a course online and don't have a fucking clue how the computer works under the hood. I mean, yeah, sure, you can get tasks out of them, but good God. And if they're only there because it's a, you know, paycheck and they don't actually give a, you know, and they don't actually, well, if they're contractors from a certain country that has difficulty using the toilets correctly, I'm not impugning them because of their race. I'm impugning them because of their geographic location. Just to clarify. I'm not racist, but I am a culture.
Hey, there's something Netflix is going to be doing in a couple of months. Fucking you on your geolocation.
Yeah. Well, apparently Netflix funded an anime that used one of these AI art generators to do backgrounds, and a whole bunch of artists are losing their shit over that. I don't know if anybody saw that one,
Yeah, I did. They artists have been losing their shit left, right, and center. I
well,
mean,
yeah, there's that whole thing about somebody who got banned from a subreddit because they decided their art was AI generated and it like wasn't. So, it's gonna be a thing.
dude, I think the people mainly complaining are they're trying to make money off their art, and best way to make money off your art's kill yourself. Because that's when your shit gets
Historically.
valuable. Yeah, I'm just saying. I
Well,
mean,
I'm just gonna throw it out there.
graphic designers just have to take the L, man. It's their day is over. Same as the sign writer. Their day was over the minute vinyl became cheap enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know because I had a buddy who was it was in it. He was a graphic artist, designer, started out painting signs. And yeah.
A lot of people think this Web 3.0 stuff, AI generated and blockchain stuff is going to be great. It's going to be a nightmare. It is going to be an absolute fucking nightmare. The whole dead internet thing, yeah, it really will be. Unless you're in
Well,
very specific places where you know who you're interacting with might be real, because having met them in person, for example. Yeah, the whole dead internet thing is, the top layer of the internet is absolutely going to be that. Everything's going to be SEO optimized, AI generated bullshit to generate clicks and links. Half the damn interactions on the popular social media platforms are going to be bots. Most of the comments, reviews, and 5-star ratings are going to be bots.
I think the funniest part about it, Morps, a lot of people are starting to figure out that no one cares about them.
Well, there's
They're
that.
complaining their jobs are going away and stuff like that. They don't care. They've never cared. You're just a cog in a fucking machine.
Go ahead, Madman. I didn't mean to step on you.
Oh, you didn't.
Oh, I thought.
But
Okay.
I think I may be somewhat insulated from the dead internet simply because of what I use the internet for.
You might be.
Yeah, I talk to people that I already know in real life, and the internet people, I'm stuck in limited communities. It's not quite the old school BBSs, but you can see it from there. It's the whole kind of same idea. It's we're all here to discuss this one subject, and then we leave and have a life.
Yeah.
I'm looking at setting up BBSs on radio, man. I mean, fucking Direwolf is the package to play with, so got a box of old Baofengs, and I'm gonna see if I can set up some packet radio stuff, because I think that's gonna be more useful than actual internet. It's like, well, why do you use ham radio? Because real people, not bots. The fuck, that's gonna be the answer. That's what it's gonna be in a couple of years. Why are you using ham radio?
Well, hang on.
Yeah.
How come I can't use my AI-generated voice chat to talk to you over the radio?
Because I can't think of a good reason to do so.
Because for the lulls.
There's nothing stopping you from doing it, especially if you have it programmed to follow all the FCC rules. I just don't see any profit in it. The reason people write bots, do click farm ads, the whole dead internet thing, is because somebody is supposedly making money off of it. I can't see a reason to load the bots onto the fucking radio. You can't read
Yeah.
ads. That's violation of the FCC rules. Can't sell services. That's violation of the rules. You can advertise radios that you're selling, but that can't be your primary thing. It has to be an ancillary kind of thing. So that's a bit of a judgment call, but
Just catfishing old boomers, baby.
I guess there's that, but I'm not aware of anybody doing it. I mean, there's nothing to stop you from doing it other than somebody's eventually going to track down your transmitter, because I doubt you'll get licensed if that's what you're going to do. But I guess there's nothing from stopping you from buying the Baofeng for $30 on Amazon and then starting to trying to catfish old guys. Get your
Yeah.
voice changer out and be their
Yeah.
radio girlfriend, I guess. I mean,
Yeah.
oh, that's not right. That's not fucking right.
How much do used panties go for?
And you say that, madman, but you too may be reduced to selling your panties online for cash.
Hang on, I gotta go bottle up some more of this gamer girl bathwater that I get straight from the tap.
You get it from the tap? I get it from puddles. Authenticity.
It's not right. Weren't we reading an article about groups hiring people?
Yes. We can get back to that
where
now.
Where was I with that? Where was I with that? Cybercrime is a booming business, so like any other threat... Leftist
really slightly got off topic.
Networks. For fuck's sake. Cybercrime is a booming business. Like any other thriving market, the masterminds behind ransomware syndicates or online scan operations need workers too. Apparently, they aren't just looking for other criminal hackers. Developers, administrators, and designers are in high demand. And just as the cybersecurity market is competing for the best talent, cybercriminals are also offering high salaries and perks to attract the best. Some ads boasted annual salaries as high as $1.2 million for skilled hackers. According to new analysis from Kaspersky, it appears that developers are the most sought after within the cybercrime ecosystem. The company's research reviewed roughly 200,000 employment-related messages posted on 155 dark web forums between January of 2020 and June of 2022. The number of posts peaked in March 2022, possibly because of COVID-related lockdowns and income reductions in multiple countries. Nevertheless, job posts, both seeking employment and listings, have exceeded 10,000 per quarter, analysis found. In other in-demand positions include attack specialists, reverse engineers, testers, analysts, administrators, and designers. Even the most sophisticated hacking crew still need the help, the research said. Not all job listings are for roles performing illegal work. In fact, one well-known Russian bank... Okay, I know what they're... Yeah, one well-known Russian bank. Okay, sure. Would that be the Internet Business Forum? No, anyways, sought to hire developers, while others sought candidates to develop legal IT learning courses. But even the criminal work has the mundane sort of feel of typical employment ads. Test assignments were common, the researchers said, and including steps such as encrypting files, evading antivirus detection, and being generally professional and available online. Other parts of the listing would be familiar to normal job seekers, such as incentives, quote, with each successful assignment, you'll get a raise and an instant bonus, unquote. Employee referral bonuses and paid time off and drug-free requirements. Really? You're not going to do an exception for pot? Because, you know, I know our government has a hard time with that one, trying to find guys who can pass a drug test. So, high salaries for the right candidates were available. $100,000 per month in one listing, $20,000 per month in another. Really? Only 20? But the median salary, per month. Okay, I was misreading that. I was thinking per year. But one median salary, depending on the role, ranged from between $1,300 and $4,000 per month. So, I don't know. I'm reading these numbers, think it's kind of low.
I'm just thinking, I'd have trust issues. I just put in 80 hours this week. Are you actually going to fucking pay me, or do I need to burn some houses down?
Well, I mean, if it's a criminal organization, you also collect all your data, so in case you need to, hi, FBI, I work for these people, I'm using a pseudonym, and I haven't been paid, so here, have fun. It's like, well, if I'm not going to get paid, nobody else is, right? But you're right, trust issues, absolutely. I mean, it's a criminal operation. Although, you know, I say that, depending where they're operating out of, like, Russia especially is the one that comes to mind, but China, several Middle Eastern countries, as long as you don't hack countries within the border of where that country is where that company is operating, they don't care. Yep. So these are there are legitimate businesses in both China and Russia that what they do is ransomware and hack American companies and the phone scams and shit like that. India is actually one of the few that tries to prosecute these phone scam companies.
Yeah, they just bribe them and they're fucking out the next day.
That's true.
And they're back operating. Problem. Yeah, India's got a bad crew, so does Pakistan.
But they at least will actually prosecute these guys, or try to, when they get enough complaints from the states about it. But, you know, like you said, corruption and bribes and all that. But, like, Russia and China, they don't give a fuck. Nigeria? Well, they do, but mainly because they got so sick of the Nigerian prince jokes. But, yeah, a lot of these countries, they do not care if you're not hacking targets inside their country. They will not go after these companies. And so they see them as legit companies because their business is hacking America. Pfft, they don't care. They're not going to stop it. So it might as well. I mean, that's why some of these ads probably read like real tech jobs, because for all intents and purposes, they are. It's a legal operating entity within Russia or China or one of the other countries that just doesn't care about what they're doing as long as they're not hacking companies inside that country. So some arrangements seemed more informal. Quote, we want long-term cooperation, hack some Chinese websites and dump the DBs for me. Let's talk on XMPP. Unquote. One message read, referring to a widespread internet messaging platform. XMPP is a protocol, dumb. Anyways, okay, I'm going to stop. Because I'm going to get angry. The analysis found that some people seeking jobs seem to simply need the money, but for others, their reasons might be harder to pin down. Either way, people seeking out this kind of work may not fully understand what they're getting involved or who they're getting involved with.
Oh, they know what they're doing. If you're at that level, you know what the fuck you're doing.
Quote, people may have several reasons for going to the dark web site to look for a job, unquote. The researchers wrote, quote, many are drawn by expectations of easy money and large financial gain. Most of the times, this is only an illusion, unquote. No, if you want easy money, never mind. I was going to say something, and I don't want to say that. I was going to say, get in at a job where nobody else understands security work, charge them a high rate, and be a consultant. Because I'll tell you, I've seen what consultants charge, and for mostly what they report, they're running a fucking Nessus scan. And what they charge one customer would cover their Nessus subscription for years. So, yeah, you know, if you want easy money, get in the security consultancy game doing pen tests.
You and a million other people want that job, though.
You know, not as many as you'd think. You are competing with some of the big boys, but there's a lot of small firms doing it and a lot of companies looking to get that check mark off on their audits.
Have they come up with a global convention on how to pen test yet? Or are they still dicking around with those rules?
Not that I'm aware of.
I knew it'd never come out of committee, man.
There's not even standards in... Well, that's not true. There are standards for what a pen test should be put up by various organizations. SANS actually has a pretty good guide on what a pen test should be.
Yeah.
But
needs to be a global... On pen testing.
There's no real agreement on it, right?
Recommended standard.
Like ISO will have some... Like, there's a lot of them that just say that you have a yearly pen test. Well, they don't have a requirement for what a pen test is. You know, and so you might say, oh, well, ISO defines a pen test as this. SANS defines a pen test as this. MORPS on Pure Decking screams about pen tests being something else. RU says a pen test is when you take your BIC and put it against a piece of paper and see what happens. These things aren't defined in some of the damn standards, so, you know, Madman might be...
We're still having trouble defining audits in an industry that's over 2,000 years old.
I mean, you might have somebody define a pen test as could you get in the girl or not, so, I mean, you know. Yeah, I've heard all the jokes, so... additionally, the salaries are, quote, seldom significantly higher than those you can earn legally, unquote, the researchers wrote. Of course they wrote that. Quote, nevertheless, unhappy with their pay, a substantial percentage of employees in the legitimate economy quit their jobs to find similar employment in the dark web market, unquote, they wrote. Quote, changes in the market, layoffs, and pay cuts, too, often prompt them to look for... No, okay, stop. That's not why people do that. people go on the dark web. Wow, this is shit I should not do. But we're going to fucking do it, because fuck it. When somebody goes on the dark web to make money, if they're looking for a job, they're doing it wrong. I mean, yeah, there are jobs out there, but it's a fucking job. You're going to get a salary. But now you've got to worry about, how do you report this? Are they ever going to get reported? I mean, are you going to do tax evasion too? I mean, you're going to have all kinds of problems if you try to do a dark web salary. No. When you're trying to make money, either for whatever reason or if you're just pissed off at your company, you don't quit your current job first, your day job first. You go get in with one of these hacking groups and say, I currently work at XYZ Corporation. I can get you all the service account logins for this, 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 and this. And then, you know, next thing you know, you've got kids being arrested by the City of London Police because they paid off some idiot on the internet to give them logins to their... I should stop talking, shouldn't I?
Whatever happened to that kid? Did he get prosecuted or not?
I don't know. They memory hold it.
I thought so, because he was the son of a very prominent businessman.
I'm glad somebody got the reference. So, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's much else to say on this. You know, trying to get a job with a hacking group is not the greatest of ideas for a lot of reasons. Mainly, you're expendable to the hacking group. They don't know you. Especially if you're not in the same country that they're operating in. If you are in a different country than they're operating in and you're hacking companies in your country, that means you're vulnerable to law enforcement. The company might not be, but you are. So if they ever manage to identify you for whatever reason, there are ways to do it. Usually it's a pain in the ass to identify somebody on Tor, but it's not impossible. It just takes, you know, actual police work. I wouldn't recommend it as a long-term strategy, but people get pissed at their employer, you know, instead of just posting the logins on 4chan for the lulz, they'll go on these forums and try to sell the logins to back-end systems. So that usually nets them more money than anything else, but it also usually gets them caught because a lot of companies log when people pull credentials. Not always, but sometimes they do. Hey, Al Hazard, I just saw you're in the IRC there. I've been drinking, so if I didn't notice it till just now, I've been drinking. Especially larger organizations that use some kind of a system. They'll log when somebody pulls those passwords. So if you think, oh, I'm just going to go yank every service account I've got access to in a password manager and then go sell it on the dark web for money, if you get caught, you're guaranteeing you're never going to get employed in that industry again. So that might be why some of these people are hunting for jobs on the dark web, is they got caught doing something naughty and they can't get a real job anymore. You know, not a lot of guarantee that you're going to get paid. If you do get paid, it might be in Bitcoin, which God knows what that'll be worth when you actually try to cash it out. Don't get me wrong, it's coming back. I noticed my Helium tokens had doubled in value, so it's like, oh, hey, that might actually be worth something at some point in the future. I doubt it, but I haven't shut down the miner yet because it's still making me about 30 cents a day, supposedly. I think it's costing me about the same in electricity, so it's kind of a wash. Yeah, it depends on what you mean by what it's worth. Well, that's the other thing, too, is a lot of these hacking groups will go, oh, you've got internal passwords? Yeah, that's great. Let us get in there and see what it's worth. Then we'll decide what you to pay you. Yeah.
You'll never hear from again.
Yeah, exactly. Or here's your $10. Go away.
Yeah.
So, I just realized we've got, 5 minutes left?
Yeah,
and I've been ranting,
time.
So you guys talk on that, and then we'll skip the AMD.
Oh, I've got nothing left on that one.
Yeah, I think we kind of skinned it. What's the next story?
It's dojo time, man.
Yeah, it's five minutes left. It's dojo time. I had a couple of other stories. AMD was apparently under shipping their chips to keep prices high. That's kind of a dick move, but I don't know what else to say about that other than it's kind of a dick move.
Dick move.
So, and I had another story that apparently Poland was investigating Amazon's shipping practices, which, good. I'd like to see Amazon investigated. I'd like to see Amazon get an antitrust case. So, I still use
it. I know Google's been hit. Amazon may be here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, I use Amazon services a lot more than I should, but fuck, I'd like to see them get an antitrust case because I think they're a prime target for it. But, all right, let's do this. So what I've got for you tonight, a little different fare. It's not a security tool. It is a tool you could use for playing a game in an environment where you probably normally, well, you can't install stuff. So if like you're in a computer lab, you're at work, you're at school, someplace where you probably shouldn't be playing Counter-Strike, this is a way to play Counter-Strike online. Play-cs.com. They run Counter-Strike in your browser. Right now, it pretty much requires Chrome or a Chrome-based browser. I was playing it in Brave, and that seemed to work. You know, it doesn't seem to work too well in Firefox. I got it to run, but I had no sound. It was pretty choppy. And even their own homepage says Firefox is only about 70% supported. So I, you know, kind of go with them on that. I think they're working on it, though. But yeah, it's flipping Counter-Strike in a browser without installing plugins or anything like that. I remember back in the day, QuakeNet was the website. What was the actual game where they tried to put Quake 3 in a web browser? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Boss me.
It's in our Steam library, or it's in my Steam library. I don't know about you guys. Let's see real quick here. I just search it. Fuck. Trying to click shit too fast. It is Quake Live. That's what they tried to call it, Quake Live. Yeah, NetQuake was Quake 1 on TCP. That was a different thing. That was a build of Quake 1 for doing TCP networks, if I remember NetQuake correctly. I might be wrong on that. It's been a few years. I've slept since then. But yeah, Quake Live is what I was thinking of, and that was where they originally tried to port Quake 3 into a browser, and then they just turned it into a slimmed-down version of the Quake 3 engine that you could run on pretty much anything. This is what they tried to do with Quake Live, except no plugins or anything. You just need a browser that supports it. And it's Counter-Strike 1.6, the old Half-Life 1 engine-based Counter-Strike. Thing we all played when we were kids, you know? And yes, the game is still just as much bullshit as it was back then, with weird-ass missed shots and, you know, having to pump, you know, you only tap the shots so that you actually get accurate shots and, you know, high ping and low ping bastards fucking up the game. I mean, it's exactly like you remember it. You know, the sound being all, you know, the sound being bad and everything, like getting hearing the footsteps in the wrong place or way too close to you and stuff like that. So, but, you know, if you want to get a little dust too on and, you know, in the web browser, you don't actually have to make an account to play, but if you want to like set your name and stuff like that, you do. But you can play, just, you know, you'll be named player in a string of numbers. And I don't think there's quite enough servers yet, but and we've ran already into private servers and modded servers. And I don't know if there's like a way to like take an old CS, you know, like run your own CS server and point it at this thing. But probably the nicest thing about it that we've found so far was that you could take the URL that it gives you for a server and like send it to your friends. And they could just click the URL, opens up in the browser, and you all connect to the same server when it eventually connects. It's not perfect yet. And they're probably getting slammed right now because a bunch of people are advertising this thing. But, I mean, it's the original CS 1.6 in a web browser. I mean, it's certainly nostalgic for me. I don't know about you guys.
I think it could kill some time whenever I have time to kill at work.
That's one of the TPG human sort of thing that programs the human side of it.
Why is a woman wearing a top knot, or is that just a very fat man?
It's not a woman. It's not even close to a woman.
I don't understand what I'm looking at.
Yeah, either do I. Just agree and move on. Finish the show.
You're supposed to say beautiful and brave. Is that the
stunning? I was stunned when I first saw it. Yeah,
speechless. Absolutely, did not know what to say. Interpret that how you will. I think that's all I got. Madman, closing thoughts.
I think Mozilla's dying, and it's making me sad. I like my browser. I don't want to use a different browser. Fewer and fewer things are working on it.
Yeah, I'm noticing that too. Brave seems to be decent enough, but it's got issues too. Al Hazard says he's not sad that Mozilla is dead. You want everyone in the world writing their websites against Chrome? Because
that's the same problem. Chrome, dude.
I mean, we've had the same problem. We did this before with Internet Explorer in the early years of the Internet. We're just doing it again, where everybody writes to us to one standard controlled by a company, not an open platform. That's not good. Incentive to create an alternative. No, because they've open sourced enough of Chrome that they don't have to have an alternative. You just grab the open source. I don't agree with that. I'd like to see five or six different browsers based on different code bases than Chrome, Mozilla, and that's it. I mean,
and I think Mozilla's.
And Mozilla's
it's getting
losing.
Sick. I don't know if it's dying, but it's definitely sick. It's got a cold. It may turn into pneumonia.
I haven't had any problems with it.
Well, I guess you've got Safari too. Safari's still their own code base, but that's. I don't know that I can condone installing Safari on other machines outside of Macs. Opera's based off Chrome these days. Vivaldi is. Is Vivaldi based off Chrome? I don't know if Vivaldi is based off Chrome. I know Opera is nowadays. Opera used to be their own engine, but now I think they've gone off Chromium. Now I don't know.
Either way.
Vivaldi is built from Chromium. Okay, Vivaldi's based on... Yeah, they're all Chromium-based. They're all based off that same engine. Now, granted, it's an open-source engine, so I guess that helps, but... I don't know. Yeah, Vivaldi's probably up there with Brave as a good alternative, if you want to... the Chromium engine. Chromium. I don't know... I mean, Chromium's based off WebKit, which Safari is based off WebKit, which is probably why Safari is still Blink Engine. I don't remember which one the Blink Engine is. You know what? It's over time. We're like the meetings at work. I don't want to answer these questions anymore. I'm going to call it because the show's over time. Did we do all the closing thoughts?
Yeah, just hit the fucking buttons.
Just hitting the fucking buttons. I might have. Had quite a bit of Evan Williams bottle and bond while we were doing the shows.
May have.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Run! Freeze! Go!